You are listening to the Walking Leader podcast with your host, David Guerra.
Welcome back to the Walking Leader podcast, and I'm your host, David Guerra. In this episode, we continue with session 6 of the Primary Leadership Development course. Let's get started. Session 6, Team Building and Collaboration. We continue with team building and collaboration. In this session, we're going to cover two components that all leaders will have to face and deal with head on. That's conflict resolution and fostering a positive team culture. They sound like complete opposites, because they are. As leaders will attest to, some days it'll feel like it's feast, and others it'll be famine when it comes to one or the other. You see, as some days it may be all conflict after conflict that must be resolved, then there will be days of continuing to enjoy the positive team culture. So let's break it all down. As a new leader, learning and mastering conflict resolution skills is not just important, it's essential. It's non-negotiable, if you will. Conflict is an inevitable aspect of human interaction, especially in the workplace, where diverse personalities, perspectives, and priorities converge. How you handle conflict can significantly impact team morale, productivity, and overall organizational success. And here is why it is crucial for new leaders to prioritize learning and utilizing conflict resolution techniques. See, first and foremost, effective conflict resolution fosters a positive and productive work environment. See, when conflicts are left unresolved or poorly managed, they can escalate, erode trust, and eventually create a toxic atmosphere within the team. Now, as a leader, it is your responsibility to address those conflicts promptly and constructively, ensuring that team members feel heard, respected, and supported. Okay, so don't feel like, you know, one's got to give. No, you've got to do everything. You're the leader. You're the one they're going to. So conflict resolution skills are essential for maintaining strong relationships and collaboration with the within the team. And when conflicts arise, they can strain interpersonal dynamics and hinder teamwork. And by proactively addressing conflicts and finding mutually acceptable solutions, you can strengthen trust, enhance communication, and foster a culture of cooperation and respect among the team members. Additionally, mastering conflict resolution allows you to unlock the full potential of your team. Conflicts, when managed effectively, can serve as opportunities for growth, innovation, and learning. Everything's a learning opportunity. So by facilitating constructive dialogue and encouraging diverse perspectives, you can harness the creative energy generated by conflict to drive positive change and problem-solving within the organization. Effective conflict resolution is essential for maintaining disruptions, and I'm sorry, for minimizing disruptions and maintaining productivity. Unresolved conflicts can escalate into prolonged disputes, causing delays, distractions, and decreased morale. By addressing conflicts swiftly and decisively, you can prevent minor disagreements from snowballing into major obstacles, keeping your team focused and on track toward achieving its goals. Now, let's explore 3 examples of conflict resolution techniques that new leaders can employ. I mean, there's others, there's many, but here are just 3 for the sake of time. Active listening and empathy. Example, here's the example. Suppose 2 team members, Jane and Steven, are experiencing tension due to differing opinions on a project and how to approach it. As a leader, you can facilitate a conflict resolution meeting where both parties are encouraged to express their perspectives while the others actively listen. Now, through active listening and empathy, each team member feels heard and understood, paving the way for a collaborative solution that integrates elements of both approaches. Now, folks, if you're quick to jump onto the my way or the highway because I'm the leader, it's the my way or the highway kind of thinking, this is not going to work for you. This is not going to work for you. You have to be prepared to somehow let go of some control. And as new leaders, you're still trying to get your footing, you're still trying to get your feet wet. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult, and it's going to be really easy to slip into the my way or the highway. And then, you know, inevitably comes because I said so, That's the way it is. That's what's going to happen. So be careful when it comes to this. Be careful when it comes to the act of listening. It's going to be hard, but you can do it. And the sooner you learn to master that, the better off it's going to be later on down the road. All right, the next example deals with collaboration and compromise. All right, here's a situation where two departments, say marketing and sales, have conflicting priorities regarding a new product launch. And instead of allowing the conflict to escalate, you as a leader bring representatives from both departments together to identify common goals and explore within solutions. Through collaboration and compromise, the teams devise a revised launch strategy that addresses the concerns of both departments while maximizing the product's success in the market. Mediation and facilitation is another example. Consider this scenario. Tensions arise between a team member and their supervisor due to perceived favoritism in task assignments. As the leader, you act as a neutral mediator. You have no choice. Neutral mediator. Please remember that. And you're going to facilitate a conversation between the two parties to clarify expectations, address misunderstandings, and find a resolution that restores trust and mutual respect. See, through mediation and facilitation, you help the individuals involved navigate differences constructively and ultimately strengthening the team dynamic, because you start to get to know each other, you start to understand each other, and you start to see where they're all coming from. But the team sees that. Okay, so again, be careful. You're going to have to let go of some control, and that's okay. Letting go of some control is okay. Remember, my way or the highway is gone. It's gone. It's something that, you know, a lot of us still have, a lot of us hold on to, a lot of us first-time leaders, managers, supervisors, and though we've not had it for so long, we've never had it all. Now, as we're older and we've more experienced on the job, but now we're faced with this new dynamic, it's going to be difficult to let go of control, but you can learn to do it. So learning and utilizing those conflict resolution skills are indispensable for new leaders navigating the complexities of leadership. And by prioritizing effective conflict resolution, you can foster a positive work environment, strengthen relationships, and empower your team to overcome challenges and achieve its fullest potential. Now, let's look at fostering a positive team culture. It's not just important for new leaders, it's crucial for the long-term success and well-being of the teams that they're leading. And team culture encompasses the shared values, norms, attitudes, and behaviors that define how members interact and work together. As a new leader, cultivating a positive team culture sets the foundation for a motivated, engaged, and high-performing team. And here's why it's crucial for new leaders to prioritize learning how to foster a positive team culture. A positive team culture enhances morale and motivation within the team. When team members feel valued, respected, and supported in their roles, they are more likely to be engaged, committed, and enthusiastic about their work. Now, this sense of belonging and purpose not only boosts individual satisfaction, but it also fosters a collective sense of pride and camaraderie. A positive team culture promotes collaboration and teamwork. See, in a supportive and inclusive environment, team members are more inclined to share ideas, collaborate on projects, and support one another's growth and development. This collaborative spirit not only enhances creativity and motivation, but it also strengthens the overall performance of the team. Oh, not bad. Now, additionally, a positive team culture contributes to employee retention and loyalty. Why would they want to leave something that they're enjoying? Right? Remember, they say, follow your passion. You'll never work a day in your life. So when employees feel connected to their team and organization, they are more likely to remain with the company for the long term. And by investing in building a positive team culture, new leaders can reduce turnover, attract top talent, and create a stable and cohesive team environment. A positive team culture improves communication and trust. When open communication is encouraged and trust is established among team members, conflicts are resolved more effectively. Feedback is given and received constructively, and decision-making processes are more transparent and inclusive. This fosters a culture of accountability, mutual respect, and continuous improvement within the team. Here are a couple of examples of how to foster a positive team culture. And again, there's plenty, but here are just the top three, or the three that I see are good and should be addressed. And the first one, though, it's going to be the top one, always. That's leading by example. Lead by example. As a new leader, you set the tone for the team culture through your actions, behaviors, and attitudes. And by demonstrating integrity, empathy, and commitment to excellence in your own work, you inspire trust and respect among team members. Whether it is actively listening to team members' concerns, recognizing and celebrating their achievements, or fostering a culture of inclusivity and collaboration, your leadership sets the standard for the team's behavior and values. And folks, leading by example is the easiest thing to do because you start off that way and you stay that way. But it's also the hardest thing to do because if you slip, you know, now you've been knocked down a peg or two. You're not actively listening. You're not celebrating achievements. And the resentment kicks in. And once it's in, it's even more difficult to get it. But leading by example from the very beginning, you set the standard right then and there. So be careful. Be careful, because once they've lost it, it's going to be hard to get it back. All right, another one is to promote a work-life balance. Recognizing the importance of work-life balance, you encourage team members to prioritize their well-being and personal interests outside of work. Now, it doesn't mean get involved into their outside of work lives, but recognize that they have things to do. And whether it's offering flexible work hours or promoting remote work options or providing wellness programs and resources, you can demonstrate your commitment to supporting the holistic health and happiness of your team members. And by promoting work-life balance, you not only enhance job satisfaction and morale, but also foster a culture of trust, loyalty, and productivity. See how all of that works together? So again, work-life balance. Now again, it's never going to be in balance. One is always going to outweigh the other. That's why we call it balance. It's something, it's a goal we want to achieve, but it's never going to happen, because if we're paying too much attention to our work, our outside of work suffers. And then we address the outside of work, then our work suffers. You see what's going on? But it's always a constant battle. It's always a constant struggle. But if you're giving them support, then, you know, it makes things a little bit easier. Again, within reason. All right, next one. The encourage continuous learning and growth. Oh, non-negotiable. You create opportunities for professional development and growth within your team by offering training programs, workshops, and mentorship opportunities. Whether it is investing in skill-building workshops, encouraging cross-functional collaboration, or providing opportunities for leadership development, you empower team members to expand their knowledge, develop new skills, and pursue career advancement opportunities. Yes, even if it means leaving your team. Remember, your job as a leader, I'm not talking manager, I'm not talking supervisor, your job as a leader is to create new leaders. In some cases, those new leaders are going to be needed someplace else. So, you not only enhance the individual and team performance, but also demonstrate your commitment to investing in the long-term success and development of the team members. Each individual. So learning how to foster a positive team culture is essential for new leaders seeking to create a supportive, inclusive, and high-performing team environment. And by prioritizing values such as respect, collaboration, and continuous improvement, new leaders can inspire motivation, enhance communication, and cultivate a culture of excellence within their teams. And again, you're creating new leaders. They're going to take that motivation, that enhanced communication, and that culture of excellence to their teams. See, it's a legacy building thing you're doing here. So again, you start now, but you're building a legacy. So let's talk homework. Here's your session 6 homework assignment. In your notepad or journal, whatever you're using, please write down one situation that was a conflict in your workplace with your team. What did the supervisor or manager do to resolve it? And in a separate paragraph, write down what you would have done differently to resolve the conflict. And folks, seriously, write this all down, because, you know, you're going to use this later on. You're going to reflect back on this and you're going to say, hey, I remember writing something down and here it is. So at least 3 paragraphs should suffice. But remember, this is something, like I said, you're going to use for future reference, and we're using it to build upon every session here. I want to remind you that we still have so much more to go. There are 4 more episodes to go in this primary leadership development course. As a reminder, know that there is more to this course than audio in the podcast. I invite you to visit my website, daveguerra.com/primary. That's daveguerra.com/PRIMARY, primary. There you'll find the course materials such as this audio, a video or two, some PDF documents for you to download, and some other training materials to help you move through the course. Now, the next episode of the Primary Leadership Development course drops in a couple of weeks on or about April 6th. So I do hope you can continue to join me on this journey. Well, it looks like we've reached the end of this episode of the Walking Leader Podcast, and I do hope you found it both entertaining and educational. Also, I do hope you can continue to join us for the next episode. Now, please don't forget, you can always contact me with questions, comments, concerns by email at dave@daveguerra.com or on Twitter at @DaveGuerra, the @ DaveGuerra, all one word, or on Instagram at @Dave_Guerra, my first name underscore last name, @Dave_Guerra. I look forward to hearing from you. And until next time, I do ask that you be confident, stay patient, take action, and remain resilient. I'm your host, David Guerra. Thank you for joining me today.
The Walking Leader Podcast is a David Guerra presentation.